This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is definitely a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know, definitely whenever you hear me or Bulelani on the line, you know that this is a show that brings you all things business. We're bringing legislators, we're bringing regulators, we're bringing decision makers to actually speak about issues that really affect entrepreneurship and the landscape of business in South Africa. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
I'm doing good. I'm having a super great week.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty relaxed at the office, so we're doing amazing work. Actually, there's a couple of exciting.
You're on the roll. You're making money, dude.
Of course. But you know, I was taught to be humble about it. But there's a couple of nice projects we're now working on,
okay.
And I'm very excited about that. And plus, I mean, the stuff that we're gonna be working on for Yekurileni that you don't know about, but we're gonna be working with them.
Oh, is
I'm very excited about that.
Oh, okay.
Very, very excited.
Did you attend the LeaderX conference?
No. I didn't because I am LeaderX, so I decided, screw them. I'm kidding. No, I couldn't. I was working. You know, running a production company is a bit of a drag.
Excuse us.
Yeah, but did you go?
I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go. Dude, you don't want to know what happened to me. But anyway, I don't want to get into
entrepreneurship.
Yeah?
Stepped in the way.
Stood.
It always stood. Does.
Yeah, no, it always has a way of getting to me. But I see before we actually start on the show, there's a gentleman you want us to quickly have a discussion.
Yeah,
with?
Man, you know, we've got an amazing gentleman who's a young professional. I think this gentleman is completing his MBA. He's done relatively very well for himself. I mean, at the age of 24, he's done very, very well for himself. Yamkela, 23, not 24. Wow, okay. So, I mean, just tell us a bit about yourself, brother, man.
Well, Yamkela is an entrepreneur. Initially, I'm the founder of Cube Projects and Consulting, which owns a few stakes in a few businesses. I was also the one that founded, one of the guys that founded the Malvo Grill Lounge. I'm part of the guys that have founded the Ibiza Sky Lounge in Pretoria that was launched last week in Pretoria East. I'm involved in quite a few things. There's restaurants, hospitality, there's a bit of marketing, and I've got a few other communes that are part of the business things that I'm involved in. Yeah.
So, what do you mean communes?
Accommodation where people stay. I've got a commune where people come and they rent and they stay and they pay rent.
Oh, is it? So you are a landlord?
I'm a landlord, yes.
Oh, nice. How old are you, dude? You're 24?
23.
Okay, but I'm curious, how did you get to be now starting to doing communes and things like that?
Well, I started off in business, I think I was 17 years old. I was in the city of Pietermaritzburg, and I started off a business that was a company that was called GMF, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, when I started off my business, it was purely just for a social responsibility thing. So
okay.
I used to do concerts, and then in those concerts, the ticket sales from those concerts, I'll go and give them to orphanages. And then after that, people started noting and being like, "Hey, there's this guy, you know, his concerts are so well organized, his artists always pitch up." And then they'll say that, "Can you please be our events coordinator?" Events mm-hmm. coordinator. And then it went on, and then I was like, okay, let me make this into a business. I took on and I went into events as a business. Went from there, I started hiring out sound, stage, and doing events for corporate companies and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And as that grew, you know, the scope of the business went on. You know, we had Malvo Car Wash and Chisanyama,
okay.
Had that running for a while, and then went on to Malvo Grill Lounge, and now we at Ibiza Sky Lounge in Pretoria East.
No, a good establishment.
No, man, but here's the thing. I mean, being so young, I know, I mean, when I was your age in entrepreneurship, I mean, it was particularly hard. Did you get any funding? to get into what you're getting in. I mean, give us a little bit of background in terms of your family background and, you know.
Okay. My family background, I think like most South African young men, you know, I grew up with my biological father being absent, you know. And then I was raised by a mother that was very strong, you know. My mother was very strong. At a later stage, she got married and my stepfather was there. But I grew up mostly in, like most South Africans, you know, in an upbringing where you had to think and you had to consider other people around you. You know, I wouldn't call myself a trust fund boy because it didn't exist.
Yeah. So, I mean, just engage us a little bit about Digital Forward. What's Digital Forward?
Okay, no, I'm no longer involved in it anymore.
Digital Forward, okay?
Yeah, I'm no longer involved.
So the script that I got is a little bit inept. What are you involved in now?
I'm involved in
what is Ibiza's, your key focus?
Ibiza Sky Lounge is our key focus at the moment. We had the grand opening last week. We had Tira, we had Norma Kumalo, Idols, we had Sipogazi, we had quite a few guys, you know. We launched it. It was our first opening day last week on Friday, and I think we hosted more than 700 people in the venue. So it's an establishment that I'm focused on. We're having another establishment that will be opening soon in Melville, and we're pretty excited about that. We're counting weeks, and it will be opening. And besides that, the property business, and we are launching also Yamkela as a business speaker.
Oh, nice, man. And then, I mean, tell us about your passion for, I mean, education, you know, entrepreneurial education, and, I mean, educating young South Africans.
I always say this. I strongly believe that in the 21st century, knowledge is the currency of influence. If you want to influence something or you want to influence someone, you need to know or have something that someone does not have. So in the 21st century, if you want to be effective and you want to be a person that sets a mark, you need to make sure that you actually enhance your knowledge and what you have inside. And that's where it all goes. You know, I believe that some other entrepreneurs prolong their journey of suffering in entrepreneurship by being ignorant of knowledge and the things that they should know. You know that someone ends up going through unnecessary step backs in entrepreneurship because they didn't want to kind of take the time to study the importance of the balance sheet, to study the importance of having a marketing department, study the importance of having an admin department and those type of things. Yeah, so it's very critical.
And I mean, you know what? I mean, I think for me personally, where I run across a lot of people my age, you know, and a lot of people much younger, and all of them keep asking me the same thing, you know, when is it the right time to start? When is it the right time to start, amongst the many other questions? I mean, when is the right time for someone to start?
I always say that if you wait for the right time to start, you probably will never start. The right time to start is to start now, you know, and to start with what you have, to use what you have to get what you've been promised or what you believe you should be getting. And the principle is that is, there was a time for me when business wasn't doing well. I was around 18 and I had just lost out on a big business thing and I had to restart everything. And I remember my first thought, I registered into CIPC and I started doing company registrations for people, and then I'll charge people my markup on that. I'd start small, but I had the big thing in mind. So the best time to start is now. You know, I don't think you'll ever achieve anything by waiting for funding, waiting for someone to open the doors for you.
What keeps you motivated?
Family. Yeah. Family keeps me motivated. The vision that I have for my family at large. And the fact that it's vision for my family, I then understand that if I master the vision I have for my family, then I'll be able to create a legacy. And if I create a legacy, then I'll be able to influence even more people.
So, I mean, as we wrap the interview up, just tell me a little bit. I mean, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I mean,
What does Yamgela the entrepreneur look like? What has he attained or built up?
I'm looking at in 5 years from now. You know, we've ventured into a lot of things, hospitality and so on, but it's to have established a business that at least employs a minimum of 300 people. That's in 10 years time, looking at reality and so on, and that would be my vision. But to have seen places like Ibiza Sky Lounge, you know, dominating the areas that they are in, you know, we're in Pretoria East, and I always was saying it earlier on that my vision with it is that in the next few years, when people are in Pretoria East, the first thing they should think about is Ibiza Sky Lounge. Even in Melville, the first thing that people should think about is the restaurant that I have in Melville. And that's where I see having established businesses that are dominating.
Yeah, man, I think we should take an opportunity and go to Ibiza Sky Lounge.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth going to. Proudly South African products, proudly South African brands that are youth owned.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of proudly South African brands, we're sitting here in studio, as well, I think with an amazing gentleman, Mzugile, you know, who's as well, I know, as equally passionate about South African, you know, stories. Maybe Mzugile, before we actually get to that, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Sure, hi. Just a correction, my name is Mzuzukile.
Mzuzukile. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Mzuzukile.
Mzuzukile. Also, I actually cut the zoo.
You cut? Yeah. Yeah, being economical, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine.
Yeah, full name is Mzuzukile. Surname is Sony. By way of background, I'm a qualified attorney. That's not what I'm doing currently.
Okay.
I'm a boy from Soweto, grew up in Soweto, Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Through life experiences, you know, with different people, different entities, life evolved and it led to what I started, which is Brown Sense, and why I'm here today.
Okay. What is Brown Sense?
Brown Sense is a platform that is created to open up access to markets for black-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it's a connector where you find people that want to buy from black-owned businesses. And a platform also for black-owned businesses that want to find customers. But also more than that, and the main reason why I started, it's essentially a space where, let me call it a safe space,
mm-hmm.
Where our mindsets can be challenged through behavior or changed behavior and just questioning a lot of the narratives that we've been living and that we've been seeing in this country.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Bulelani, we're talking about the big lie of small business. I mean, today small businesses are privately owned companies or corporations, partnership, or even sole proprietors that have fewer employees than annual and in annual revenue that is smaller than a regular sized business. I know that my brother here earlier, he was talking about as well some of the businesses that he's been involved in. I mean, but I know that businesses, I mean, are defined as small in terms of being able to apply for government support and quality. For preference, provincial tax policy varies from, I mean, country to country. So I don't know, in terms of now, in regards to you starting Brown Sense, I mean, is it a small business? Is it an organization? Sure. Is it a forum? What is it?
Brown Sense is very difficult to pin down. But if I can give you a technical answer, it is registered as a PTY LTD. So okay. There is an enterprising aspect to it.
Or is it?
But also there is a foundation that is registered called Brown Sense Foundation, which is a non-profit company.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, like I said, the biggest thing is to challenge a whole lot of narratives, to challenge how we think or how or what informs our thinking and our action. So case in point, you'll find, and I'm sure a lot of us have seen this narrative on in the social media space, where someone goes to a black-owned business, they get disappointed for one reason or another,
mm-hmm.
they go and rent and they say, yeah, that's why I don't support black-owned businesses, because there's a sense of I'm anticipating or expecting to be disappointed.
Okay.
There is also a sense of I'm not going to trust the serious business with a black-owned business. So I'll give you an example again.
Mm-hmm.
You find our own government leaders that when they're in serious trouble with the law, look at the lawyers and the advocates that they appoint to represent them.
I remember there was a big case around how the government appoints or they prefer white owned law firms compared to
Who do they use in terms of advertising agencies? Who do they go to? I think that those are the things that we need to challenge. But it starts with one looking at oneself, because I come from a space where I worry more about what I can control. Like, I can control myself, my actions, my thoughts, and whatever else that's within my space. Mm-hmm. But I also feel that by acting and behaving a certain way, in a way that people will also see and observe, mm-hmm. Inadvertently it challenges them to get the thought process without feeling like it's being imposed on them to say, hey, when I must wake up and do this or think like that or whatever. But to get that self-conversation or that, monologue going with each and every one of ourselves. And then I think gradually it leads to a ripple effect that we will see through, for instance, now we question, why do we take our children to the schools that they go to? Why don't we have our own schools?
Mm.
Why don't we have, our own banks? Why don't we have our own retail spaces?
Mm.
We've got the numbers.
Mm.
So those, getting to a point where those questions are being asked, even though we might not get to a point where we have the answer, so we are executing on the solution, I believe it starts on the thinking, which will lead to a much greater, Freedom Day or whatever.
So Bulelani, tell me. I mean, Mzu is raising some very valid points in terms of supporting each other as small business, and particularly as black business. What are some of the challenges that you've experienced?
I think for me, one of the things I'm very appreciative about is that, I mean, I believe in the same thing, that it's very important to, number one, first and foremost, change the mentality and the mindset around black business. Because I was attending an event last week at the Union Buildings, when one lady said, "We all know that black people don't deliver, so we as a black," and she's black, and I mean, I was so upset, and I went to this lady immediately after and I said, "No, in fact, ma'am, black people do deliver."
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because one of the biggest challenges that is faced by our country at the current moment is that Vodacom is not delivering. It's a fact. Telkom is not delivering. It's a fact. Because, I mean, you find over 10 or 20,000 clients complaining about these same large corporates. So why crucify the one or two guys that have got 2-3 errors as a problem? You understand? I've always been of the notion, the stance that says, give people enough chance to develop themselves and grow. Because the Marae Roberts of today were given an opportunity to fail. They failed a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
They failed in someone else's pocket and someone else's money. They then grew to whoever they are today. And they've set the criteria so high that Etebogo can't just come in on that same level, because then now they're assessing you on quality and criteria, but they were never assessed on that. So I know it's not what you asked me, but I mean, my passion just jumped out as per what Mzo just said right now. But I mean, I think some of the challenges that come up there is, I mean, obviously, commitment to service delivery. I mean, you'd want a professional service at the end of the day. And at the very same time, you'd want to be, I'm a township entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'd want to be taken serious by my whether it's a white corporate, an Indian, black, whatever. I'd want to be taken serious. And I'd want to also be given the fair share of opportunities, because what has happened for me in the past is that we've got machinery, we manufacture. And it's been astounding how they still give a competitor who's much more expensive than us the same work that we have quoted way less.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that become raised eyebrows. And that is why I still go back to the narrative that blacks can't deliver needs to change, so that people can entertain the prospects of us delivering high quality products as opposed to our counterparts.
Mm. My brother, what are some of the challenges that you've experienced?
I think I'd be speaking on the same thing. I believe that...
Which same thing?
What he's saying about blacks.
I want your thing.
Oh, my views. I always say that one of the other challenges we have amongst us black people is that we also, without as a majority of blacks, we don't even believe our capability. And therefore, we then go into the world, and then the world also doesn't believe our capability, because our minds as blacks, we've allowed them for too long to dwell in the mindset that there's actually someone that can do better than us. You find it, I always find it when I have someone in and someone is coming through to my restaurant, and I had these two chefs that came in, and one was a white chef and one was a black chef. When the black chef came to me and he was presenting himself, I could see that he didn't believe he can do it. And when I saw the white chef, he had this firm belief that I can do it. And I think that's what has destroyed us as black people. And also the culture, there's a culture amongst Muslims and Jews that makes them so powerful. That Muslims and Jews, that no matter what happens, if a Jew comes into a certain space and time, or goes into a certain industry, let's say the cell phone industry, and I go to an Indian shop and the Indian does not have a charger, the Indian will say, go to my brother down the road. My brother down the road has that charger. But us as black people, we have this culture that says that I want to be the only one that's successful. I want to be the only one that's powerful. And therefore, we cannot even push each other and promote each other. And I think that's the division in the mindset is what also causes the division in those that want to embrace us.
Mm. So my Mzu, tell me, I mean, when, because for you, I've realized I've gone through you some of the social, okay, I follow Brown Sense.
Sure.
So now following Brown Sense, I mean, what my brother is saying here, I've realized that you've got a couple of people that are bashing Brown Sense.
Sure.
So for me, my question that I want to ask, because my job here is to be neutral. When does it become about business and not about color? Because right now we in a country where obviously the issues of race, they're part of the biggest obvious discussions that we have.
Sure.
But now obviously they overlap a lot as far as business is concerned. So why doesn't it become about business instead of about color?
So we live in a country and a world where we were deliberately excluded on the basis of color.
Okay.
Not only deliberately, but also systematically. So there were deliberate measures that were put or taken to make sure that either we don't get in or it's difficult for us to get in.
Okay.
So that's the first premise that we need to move on. I think also if we go back into our country where, Jan van Riebeck arrived in 1652, according to our history books, that's when the South African history begins, which is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The package that arrived was a white, a man, a Christian, a capitalist, and I can count in numerous other, you know, assets or facets that were embraced by this one packaged human being. So what that did was that anyone that's not any of those was immediately excluded or othered, as our woke brothers and sisters would put it. But so essentially, if you are not any of those, then you're already in the outside, and now you have to, get the crumbs or whatever that is given to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we also need to be as deliberate, if not more, on the basis of race, because we cannot divorce ourselves from race. I'm not a disciple or a believer of see me first as a professional before you see me as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, that's not what I'm going to sell as a business.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, right? It does. So, but at the same time, for me, it's confusing. Okay, I understand the issue of we need to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in being intentional, does that mean now we cannot procure from any other businesses that are other than black owned?
Okay, so we need to be realistic also while being intentional.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. I had a email conversation. So we've got a market that runs once a month called Brown Sense Market, and one of the traders sells beverages, your juice, soft drinks.
Okay.
And he had a complaint that there's other food vendors that sell your Coke and Sprites and Fanta oranges and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And his complaint was, but I thought the Brown Sense vision is we are building a black economy. Why do you allow people to sell these products?
Mm-hmm.
My response to him was a question, which was, who is your supply chain? Right, you are selling this product called whatever that you call it.
Okay.
Who does your packaging? Who does the labeling? Who does your bottling?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you have any of those that are black owned, please give us a list. Share the list with us, and then we will share it with the rest that are in the same space. What I'm saying by this is, we are not in every space, and what needs to happen is that where we are not, and this is, I think, the most... one of the most difficult thing about this, how do we get, I think government talks about this industrialization program. Mm. How do we get into those spaces where we are not just baking cakes, we are not just doing party events, and I'm not knocking those businesses, you know, how do we get into the spaces where we've been excluded, the finance sector being one of them, right? People say, we are X number of people in this group, let's start a bank. Who in this group knows what are the banking regulations, what are the requirements to get a banking license, what are the IT systems that are required to run a bank, what do you need to subscribe to before you can even think of running a bank? Because it's easy to say, put 1,000 rands together, 83,000, multiply that, whatever total you get, damn, we've got a lot of money. So the reality is, we even myself, self-auditing my own life,
mm-hmm.
it's not possible right now to not procure from other races, because that's the reality we live in. Do we have the energy, the strength, the desire to get to a space where we occupy those spaces? And I think that's the question that not only Mzuzukile needs to answer, but all of us in the space.
Okay. Bulelani, do you want to answer that?
Not necessarily. I just had a question. Totally avert from...
Come to the mic.
Something was in my eye. I just had a question totally avert from whatever you were asking. And I just wanted to get a sense. I mean, what sort of entrepreneurs do you think you're attracting, you know, at Brown Sense? I mean, I think primarily because your engagement would be at the market.
Sure.
Is it guys who are producers or guys who are just reselling stuff that is out there on the market?
Okay.
What is your feel ideal in terms of the economy at this moment, according to what you...
Okay, so there's a different mix in terms of who comes out to the market.
Yes, sir.
Compared to who markets their business on the platform currently running from Facebook.
Yes, sir.
So at the market, you'll find your typical vendor that trades, you know, at any market that you might have been to. So you find your hair care, you know, someone that manufactures it themselves, be it they make it in a garage where they stay, or they outsource the production thereof. Someone that's in the accessory space. Then you get, we've got a guy that does craft beer. He makes it himself, but because of infrastructure, because of money challenges, he also has to rent space from a brewing company where he needs or has to brew the craft beer.
Yes,
and then you get your food guys, your drinks guys, and so forth. So it's not really... you know, hardcore, I can't think of an example right now, but something that you will find in terms of a higher a value, someone that's targeting a higher LSM, basically.
Yes.
But in the group, that is what you will see in terms of what people do. So you'll find from construction, you'll find from IT, there's people in the networking space, there's people who... But there's also service based, because I think we tend to focus more on you know, products or goods. So there's also your service based in terms of tax consultants or someone that does a landline to cell phone app or configuration.
So then tell me, I mean, in regards to what you've just said, how do you choose the businesses that advertise on Brown Sense? Because right now, I mean, as black business, mainly with the phenomena or something that is popular out there is that you guys overpromise and underdeliver.
Sure.
So, I mean, how do you set out to say this is a service provider that will deliver and not deliver?
Okay, so this, to answer your question, on Facebook, how it currently operates is anyone and everyone, as long as they're not selling network marketing products. So network marketing is your...
Your triple M and stuff.
Forex, we don't allow, for reasons that I've asked some questions around that space in terms of the regulatory framework. I haven't received an answer that gives me peace of mind to say, okay, let's open the space for that.
Mm-hmm.
The same goes for Bitcoin in terms of I'm having some questions around that space. Because ultimately, if someone finds a business on the platform and they take it offline and something goes wrong, they will say I found it
on
the Bronson's platform.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that you join the group or you are added to the group
mm-hmm.
By a mutual friend. And then you get approved to become part of the group. And then similarly, when you post, so you can say you were talking about your lounge. Hi, guys. We've opened the Ibiza Lounge in Pretoria. This is where you can find us. We've launched a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that post does not get automatically live. It gets vetted to make sure that it complies with the criteria, first of all. But the posting and what you see on Facebook is not as thorough as what we are building on a platform that would be a Bronson's platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that platform going to look like? What it's going to have, it's firstly businesses that are vetted to make sure that from a CIPC perspective, are you the director and not a salesperson at a white-owned business, for instance?
Okay.
Is your bank account, the business bank account, as mm-hmm. you state, does your business name come up in any fraudulent hits, basically from an integrity perspective? And then and a whole lot of other...
Because there's a lot of fraudsters out
for
there.
For sure. Mm. And a whole lot of other hits or fields that we will include. And then once it all checks, each business will get what is called the Bronson seal. So that seal, firstly, no one will be able to right-click, copy, and paste just to make themselves appear as if they've been Bronson's approved.
Okay.
So the Bronson seal will say to the market, this business has been vetted. These mm-hmm. guys, or including your BE certificate, mm-hmm. and if you're in the construction space,
okay.
your CIDP or whatever other documents that one is required mm-hmm. to have in that space. And that what that does then to the buyer,
mm-hmm.
is that, okay, now I'm not dealing with someone that woke up and thought, oh wow, here's an opportunity, let me take a chance, I'll get into the space.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but now, I mean, I've realized that you've been bashed to say, as a country, we're trying to move from the time of apartheid to now, obviously, inclusion and everything else.
Sure.
Why create a platform that is solely for black business?
We are still living in apartheid.
Okay, elaborate.
Nothing has changed except in name. Government has changed faces from a white government to a black government.
Mm-hmm.
We are still being excluded financially. I mean, corporate salaries, the disparities on racial lines, shocking. I mean, we have a case in point now. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The former chairman of Dimension Data.
Okay.
And I think it's Andile Ngcaba.
Yeah.
Where he's taking them to task. Chairman, I'm not talking about the tea lady, receptionist, whatever. This guy was the chairman, right? Where he was excluded while his white counterparts were receiving certain incentives and bonuses.
Mm.
The same happens in business. So here's the thing. Today, no one will say, I'm excluding you because you are black. They won't invoke the Group Areas Act or any apartheid legislation. But what they will do is they will put certain criteria and regulations and hurdles that automatically exclude a certain sector or group, race group, without saying no blacks allowed.
Mm. My brother, you're nodding. Why are you nodding?
No, I 100% agree with what he's saying. You know, even me in the business space, recently when I opened an establishment last year in Marvel, we had a serious, serious problem with the area was dominated by white business owners. And it being dominated by white business owners, the regulations on us were so tight that it made it impossible for us to open for quite a while, because they didn't put it as it's because you guys are black. But they made sure that the regulations are so hard that for a typical black person, you find it hard to operate. And in even other spaces where I operate in business, you find that you go into a business, you're all allowed to bid for something, but you guys automatically know that's going to be handed to a white-owned company. So we still, as I believe that as South Africans, we have been given the say that we are free. But what has happened is on the reality, on the finance basis, mm-hmm. where we actually really need freedom, the wealth is not yet with us as black people. That's why I appreciate platforms like our brother here, because the wealth is still not with us.
But guys, we've got BEB, isn't it supposed to benefit us?
You know what?
You're laughing, my man. But we have BE, guys. Huh?
I think we've seen since the inception of BEE who it's benefited the most.
Mm-hmm.
And with things like those, it ends up becoming a checklist thing, right? So or let's talk about, for instance, who these big corporates are obliged by law. Now, you know, it's not because they want to.
It's a tick box exercise.
Right?
Mm.
You must procure or spend X percentage of your revenue.
Mm.
You know, from black owned businesses.
Mm. Yeah. But I think I'm excited that next week we're bringing Gigi Atlock. He's a white boy, white man that understands black market and the thinking behind it. But now it raises another issue to say, mm-hmm. I mean, how is it possible that we as black, we've got these brands and everything else that come to dictate to black people, that come to dictate to black business, understand the market that you operate in, where else you very same people don't understand the potential of your own market and mm-hmm. don't even leverage out of that?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, eh? You know, the sad thing is, and I think there's a thought that crossed my mind earlier in terms of the whole buying black people would disappoint you, just to slightly take a short left. We also have to be true and realistic and look at the man in the mirror in terms of where the shortcomings are also on our side. So for instance, if one is going to start a business, or even if you're not in business, right, and mm-hmm. you're not going to be at the very bare minimum be good in being standard. So being good in being standard, what that means is if I said to you I'll be there at 8 o'clock, I'm mm-hmm. there at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. just to surprise you, I'll be there at 5 to 8. Right? If I said I will deliver these goods in this condition by this date, that's what I'm going to do. So basically I'm not mm-hmm. being excellent. So hence, you know, the whole black excellence thing, or what excellence is to begin with.
Mm.
If I'm just being standard and I met the standard to begin with. So now where I'm going with this is there's a lot of things that we have in our communities and our cultures as black people that have been, for lack of a better word, appropriated, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got our food that's been commercialized that we don't enjoy the benefit or no black person is enjoying any benefit from that, or any inventions, your makarapas, vuvuzela, chakalaka, mm-hmm. and so forth. And now, amongst us as a race, the question is why? Why do those things happen?
I mean, you're raising a valid point. You spoke of delivery and time,
yeah.
And right now you spoke of inclusion. I mean, I'm sitting with a question here to say, I mean, what role are you playing? I mean, in introduction of SMEs in your database, because I mean, most people complain what they post on Brown Sense, they don't get a response.
Mm.
It's one of the things that we're getting now onto. And mm-hmm. another thing, I mean, what benefit? Okay, what do you have in place in terms of response time? Where I mean, we live. I mean, in a fast time and paced, obviously. Country
yeah.
where everything needs to be moving so fast,
yeah.
but right now, obviously, there's no quick response as far as mm-hmm. I mean, Brown Sense, mm-hmm. You know, is concerned, and obviously, people become impatient,
sure,
in terms of interacting with their service providers. So
in terms of what we have currently in the space that we operate in, because it's on Facebook, it's not as easy to have SLAs in place where every business gets bound or signs up to SLAs, but on the platform that I spoke to, that's one of the offerings.
Okay.
Where there's an SLA and there's repercussions for not meeting those service levels. But within the platform on Facebook, we've got a system or a mechanism whereby if someone is not happy about a service that they've received from any of the businesses they found from the platform, because I've come across a few where people complain about a black-owned business they found elsewhere except on Brown Sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a dedicated email address, feedback@brownsense.co.za,
okay,
where people can send, I bought or I ordered whatever from so-and-so, they delivered late, they were not picking up their phone or responding to my messages and so forth.
Mm.
Now, what we can do and what has happened to some of the businesses is there's been people who've been removed from the group as a result of that, like failing to.
Yeah. But you see now removing people, it's not helping people. I mean, I've got another question here. So, what are the other benefits of joining Brown Sense besides access to market? SMEs not only require access to market; they need a hand holding. You know, need business support. So, how are you supporting those businesses other than just removing them? Because removing them, it's not dealing with the problem; it's just removing that part.
No, removing them is the last. It's never the first step. It's having gone through a process, because ultimately also you do need to protect the people in the platform. You do need to protect the brand, because not removing them means this person will still post and get some other person that doesn't. So, for example, there's been people whose money has been, they pay up front, and then suddenly phones are off, offices are too late and so forth. Then what do you do with that person?
Okay.
Do you understand? So you need to put that mechanism in place.
So
where
do you have a support element?
Someone,
as Sense?
Sure. That's the point that I'm getting into now.
Not a problem.
Because of the activities and the comments that you see in the group and the engagement, what that means is that there's a wealth of data in terms of what people are saying, how people are engaging, and so forth.
Okay.
Now, part of the offerings that we are working on and which we will be launching soon is something that will be called Brown Sense Series. Brown Sense Series will talk to what you're talking about in terms of what kind of support or development do we offer to the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a legal background, I sit in a space, for instance, where I see that so-and-so has got a beautiful business, a beautiful brand. Is it trademarked, number one? Do they know what a trademark is versus copyright, patent, and so forth? So we need to get an IP lawyer, in front of a group of people, get that knowledge dispensed. How do you access funding from different institutions? How do you, and some things you might take for granted in terms of customer service 101. I some of us get turned off by people addressing us by our shortened names. We don't have that kind of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying hi, Mzu Zuki, the first message, hi, Mzu.
Okay.
And then I might be like, oh,
yeah.
You understand? That's just an example. So how do you engage with the customer? What do they call this thing? After sales service. And
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing music.
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought that music was saying, okay, you better finish what you're saying. Mm. So that is there in place in terms of getting people or subject matter experts in different fields that will get deserving businesses in those spaces access to that development.
Okay. And Tefa?
Yes. So thanks, Deboho. I'm sitting here and I just, you know when you've got that question that you just want to contribute to the conversation. I'm speaking as a member of Brown Sense and also somebody that has benefited from Brown Sense, you know, because I personally feel it's a great initiative. But also, and I'm glad that you spoke about the initiatives that you're starting as well, that you're going to start in terms of what I've realized as a member is that there has been a lack of education, you know. So it's a platform where entrepreneurs come together and we share businesses. And if I'm looking for somebody that manufactures mirrors, for example, you know, I know that it's possible for me to get that person on Brown Sense. But then if I'm a person that's looking for business education, then what I've seen is something that I can't get at the moment, you know. So I wanted to just point out that those are the kind of things that are needed, especially by small business entrepreneurs that are still growing. You know, they need that education. There was also a question on somebody else's platform the other day where an entrepreneur said, I've got a brand and let's say I'm selling caps, okay. You know, and I'm going to put a price on my cap based on the way I feel, you know, it's valued, true, yeah. You know. So it was a question of brand versus price, because people would say, no, I won't buy, if your cap is 350 rands, I won't buy your cap got 350 because I feel that it's not the right quality or it's too expensive.
Okay.
And we had, and it was a question of how do you determine the price of your brand, you know. So there's a lot of things that young entrepreneurs especially need to be educated on in terms of running their businesses and growing their businesses, and I feel that Brown Sense is a platform that can start those conversations or workshops, you know, using the people that are there, the skill sets that are there, you know, so that you can build it and it becomes a movement.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a big one, price. I had a conversation with a friend. She's not really active in the platform, but she started making chili, and you know, I would buy some from her, and I was like, "Wow, this is good," you know. And then, out of interest, I asked her, "What informs your price?" I don't know what got me to ask her that. I think she was like, "Oh, I'm going to increase the price from 50 rands to 70 rands." So then I asked, "What informs your price to begin with?" You know, I'm not a pricing expert, but I would think, for instance, there's a lot of factors that you know, those blind costs that can easily fall through the cracks. You've driven up and down a number of times, the electricity, your own labor, you know, your own time, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a formula for these things. So, yeah.
Okay. But now, I mean, have you done an impact analysis to understand, I mean, how has the platform benefited the SMEs?
So there's a number of surveys that which are still running,
okay.
You know, with a group that's growing at about, I think, over 2,000 members a week. It's something that one needs to remind, you know, there's a survey on this that we are running. It's not at the numbers in terms of the response that one can confidently state or have a position to say this is where it's at. But yeah, there's a couple of surveys that are running on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not a problem. So, but now, I mean, it's something that I think obviously we need to understand. Let me ask: are you supporting any black business?
Yeah. No. I support black businesses. I've even posted some of my stuff on Brown Sense quite a few times. Yeah.
Did you complain that your post was pending for too long?
No. I didn't have such a complaint. I was happy with the platform, and sure. I think we received quite a few responses from people through that platform, actually. Yeah. So it's something that's growing, you know. And I think I get excited when black entrepreneurship is growing, but I even get more excited when competence behind black entrepreneurship is growing also,
sure.
And is being looked into, because that's the important thing, that the idea is not to just raise entrepreneurs, but it should be to raise competent entrepreneurs.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I like that. Well, then raise competent, not just black entrepreneurs.
So if I may just mention some other key, and excuse me, these are some of the things that really get me super excited. So one of the things that we've done as Brown Sense is we've partnered with two other organizations to form what is called the People's Fund, which is essentially a digital crowdfunding platform.
Okay.
For more info, it's thepeople.co.za. And this
isn't that started with the hookup? It's the hookup,
yes.
Dinner.
So it's the hookup dinner paybook also. So it's a tripartite organization or business or forum. And what it does basically is to leverage off the strengths of each of the three organizations.
Yeah.
And you know, within the period of about just over a month, we've raised over 60K. For three businesses. We now have four, a fourth one that has joined. We'll be having a fifth one that's joining. So it's something that also you guys, you know, can look into, excuse me, into in terms of, you know, funding needs, but also, you know, anyone that wants to make a contribution, because I believe that we live in the times of social capitalism.
Yeah.
or the sharing economy, as some people would call it.
No. We're actually looking at bringing them onto the show, sure. You know, in terms of having the discussion of My People Fund. Because I know you had Tsepo, you had the sneaker guy. You had the honey
Native
lady,
Aussie,
So as the first people to actually start doing the fundraising, you know, we're still gonna bring those to the show, and actually discuss it in detail as to why the time we're discussing, because I think we're gonna be still the month of September is still long. We're still gonna discussing the issue of finance, you know, around financing of small businesses, because obviously it's one key issue. To say what are other alternatives of his crowdfunding, I know it's definitely one option that we're gonna have looked at. So you'll definitely obviously you'll come back, or maybe you'll send in somebody relevant to actually be speaking on that issue. But now obviously as I close off, or as we're preparing to actually close off the show, one other thing that maybe I want to ask, to say, what is your opinion on supplier development? You spoke of earlier, you made mention of BE being a tick, sex size and blah blah and everything, then supply development.
Sure. Look, it's these things, as much as it's been largely a tick in the box, I'm also not knocking them, because they've worked for quite a number of people. It's just that we are at a space where we need more meaningful or honest and rigorous, you know, approaches to get, or to fast track, and also maybe the word that I left out there is also unapologetic, because we really need to get to that point where, you know, it's not about negotiating percentages where it's 30% for you guys, while we've got a whole lot of catching up to do. So it is needed. It's got a space, you know, in our ecosystem.
Okay.
You know, some of the work that we do, you know, for instance, would tap into, you know, these large corporates, enterprise development funds, in terms of getting access to those funds to be able to do the kind of empowering exercises that we spoke about in terms of training, development, workshops, etc. So it's got a space, and it's me saying it's a tick in the box is in no way me knocking it off. That's essentially where I stand. Just that we basically just need to be more aggressive about how we, and by aggressive also I mean like, and the reason why I started Brown Sense, it's all about realizing that the power is in our hands. So we are not waiting for government programs or corporate programs to benefit us, but taking the power back into our hands to say, what can we do for ourselves?
Can you give us some more pointers on some of the realization, the power is in our hands? What do you mean by that?
So for instance, the fact that we are the biggest, or the in terms of numbers, the most consumers in this country.
Okay, who's we? Small
black
business?
People, like, no, black people as a population, not as, I'm not talking business people now, but the, let me say brown people, these things of blacks and whites. Brown people as a race, we put ShopRite where ShopRite is in terms of the consumer spend and the muscle that we have. Now, by virtue of that alone, we've got the power.
Okay.
Right? Now, for us, as someone who's in the 8-to-5, when I get my net salary, so the taxman has taken their cut, everyone that I owe money to has taken their cut and so forth, what I'm left with, no one can tell me what and where and how I'm going to spend that money. I can decide. And by that's what I mean when I say we've got the power in our hands. So I decide, where am I going to spend this money? Now, the next step is, which talks to the supply chain that I touched on earlier, which is the most demanding task or next phase, is when I go to a black-owned business, now I need to interrogate them in terms of, who do you buy from? Who's your supply chain, you know, in terms of the product that they are selling?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have, you know, black-owned businesses somewhere, then we need to quiz and ask, why is that the case? Is it a case of convenience, price, trust, and then get into those spaces and get into those you know, tough discussions.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm still going to bring you back in. I'm not done with you, Mzu. I still want us to have tough discussions.
Let's save them. I still
want us to have tough discussions, you know. so sure. But for me, I think it's fair enough. I always say, when you go to war with somebody that is prepared.
Yeah.
So me and you could easily have done tough discussion. He's not ready for that. Yeah. Do you understand? So let's have you back and let's have tough discussions.
Are we doing it after school to after school now?
No, we are. Okay, cool. No, we are. We're gonna definitely bring it, and we're gonna have those tough discussions and really discuss some of the issues that really affect business, SMEs and black business as a whole.
And I sure have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there just making private notes, but I definitely have a lot of questions. Yeah. But I mean, how do people get a hold of you guys?
From my side, my email address is mzuzukile, that's mzuzukile @brownsands.co.za.
Please repeat that, sir.
Mzuzukile @brown, color brown, sense for common sense, .co.za.
Okay, so for people that want to join the platform?
What I suggest they do, they can drop me an email via the same email address that I've just given. They can also go on Facebook. There is a page called Brown Sense, which is open. They can like it. And I usually post there to say if you want to be added to the bigger group, this is how you can go about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not my brother?
On Facebook, Yamkela Kivit, we've got a page and a personal account. We've also got Ibiza Sky Lounge, which is a page on its own. On email, it's info at ibizaskylounge.co.za. Alternatively, Yamkela @ibizaskylounge.co.za. On Instagram, ibizaskylounge.co.za.
Okay. No, definitely. No, but thank you for joining us, gents. We're looking forward to having further discussions with you.
Sure. Thanks for
having us.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. If ever you've just joined in, you missed out on an interesting discussion of buying from small business, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast to actually listen to some of the podcasts of some of the amazing shows that we had. Abulelani, do you have anything in closing?
No, man, it's always get things done.
No, definitely. Catch us again next time, same time, same place, right here on Cliff Central. My name is Debo Mafodi with Bulelani Bala. We are out.
This is cliffcentral.com.